Good morning. It's time now for the Tawas United Methodist Church service from Tawas City, here on the Bay's Best, WIOS.
This is my story.
Potluck after the service, so if you'd like to come and meet them Saturday, can meet them Sunday. We're just not having a potluck because we already have coffee and donuts on Sunday morning. So they'll be here to meet Sunday morning as well. And I hope you take the chance to meet them. I've actually been talking to three of the committees in our church asking if they will consider developing a monthly support for this family ongoing throughout the year and the years to come. And those committees, let's see if I remember them. It's the Missions Committee, the Education Committee, and I always forget the other one. The TMW, not the UMW. The Taos Methodist Women. And so we're talking about them, encouraging them. So please pray for this family as they prepare to come. We want to welcome them and encourage them in their ministry. Thursday, October the 12th, blood drive. Save the date. Plan to donate. You see the telephone number there if you'd like to set up an appointment for your giving blood. Just a quick message about this. Versity, it's not Red Cross, it's Versity. Versity collects blood in Michigan, and they provide blood in Michigan. So it's all in the state of Michigan. Sunday, October the 15th, we'll have our youth program at 4 p.m. Our membership class is coming soon, so please contact the church office if you would like to join the membership class. And then Samaritan's Purse, those Christmas boxes are going quick. Get them while they last. They're just out there in the gathering space, and you can get them and follow the instructions. I was in Sunday school this morning, but I didn't see, but I'm sure Mary was out there, maybe?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure she was. I'm talking to people about making your appointment to get your photograph taken for our upcoming new church directory. We thought, since we are a new church, we're Taos Methodist Church, why not start out new and afresh with a new directory? And then I would like to also say that Phyllis Bessie gave me this last night, and I'm planning to make this available in terms of information so you'll have it with you, but we're collecting, it's called Help Fill a Bag for Foster Kids. And Phyllis Bessie's kind of made this a personal ministry of hers. And so there's two red wagons out in the gathering space where we're collecting lots of stuff for foster children. I'm not going to go through the list right now, but I hope to make this list available in some form in the next week. It's a great ministry, and I don't think there's a deadline on when you can bring this stuff. Just when you can, that'd be great. And then just a couple of miscellaneous things. Our layout ministry is in need of long sleeve onesies. So if you have the old onesies you're not using anymore, or... Onesies, the sleepers for both boys and girls, socks and bibs. You can donate them outside the church door. We have a trailer for sale. If you want to see the trailer for sale, go up to the church garage and you can see that and talk to the people in the church office to help you. That's all that I have for announcements. Yes! Thank you. Now, we're going to ask you to stand and warmly greet your neighbor. If you're feeling it's COVID, this problem, you don't want to shake hands, just nod, smile. Greet your neighbors and your neighbors.
Thank you.
Please remain standing. Daryl Burke will come and lead us in the call to worship.
We'll give thanks to the Lord, for He is good.
His steadfast love endures forever.
We'll give thanks to the God of gods,
for His steadfast love endures forever.
We'll give thanks to the Lord of lords,
for His steadfast love endures forever.
We
have come to worship the Lord, who alone does great wonders, for His steadfast love endures forever.
Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We'll begin our prayer with a silent prayer this morning, and then I'll pray the pastoral prayer. We'll join in the Lord's Prayer later during communion, Holy Communion. So please remember those among us who are recovering from injuries or illnesses. Please remember our nation, as we are in great need of prayer consistently. Our nation needs to turn back to God, and it always starts with God's people. We can't point out the window to somebody else. We've got to point in here. That's where it needs to start. And then pray also for trouble spots around the world. Natural disasters, loss of life, war. Our world needs prayer. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, today we begin a new month, and we are excited about sharing Holy Communion with one another today. Father, as we worship you in song and in fellowship and in the Word of God and in Holy Communion, grant, Lord, that we may do this with a view to receiving grace from you, that we may love with pure hearts the love that you've promised to give us and use in us to bless other people. Lord, we want to live to bless other people. So guide us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. sanctuary and have fun.
Let's stand and sing. Hymn number 629, let's sing verses 1, 4, and 5.
We've heard a lot about that. I don't know what the statistics are, but on average, though, most of us cannot conceive of going without food on a daily basis. I did visit a small village in Tanzania to preach, and it was the middle of the week. It wasn't a Sunday morning. It was the middle of the week. They had prepared a special gathering for that day, and I found at that, it wasn't even at a church. It was like a community building. There was a youth choir singing as we walked in, and they sang many songs, I think about seven songs. And then they sat down on the floor there, and the worship leader began to speak and kind of give the organization of the meeting, and later it was my turn to stand up and preach. And as soon as I got up to preach, I noticed that the teen choir who was sitting on the floor had mostly fallen asleep, or they're at least drowsing. And I'll never forget, I remember thinking, well, at least wait till I start preaching, you know. No, they were songs. Thankfully, I found out later, it wasn't my preaching at all that was causing them to fall asleep. I found out that they had not eaten breakfast. And with the African heat, you know, actually that can be dangerous to your health if you don't eat and you go out in the hot, sunny weather and the humidity. So they probably, on average, they were eating one or two meals a day. They did, however, go the extra mile to sing praises to the Lord and to dress as nicely as they could. So they were worshiping the Lord. It was more important to them than food. Now, granted, it was probably not in their ability to have enough food. Nevertheless, worshiping the Lord was the priority to them. So I wondered if that example might be an example of spiritual hunger being greater than physical hunger. It might have been for some of them. Some people will hunger for God even if they don't have food to eat or other so-called life necessities. Jesus referred to himself as the bread of life. And, you know, when we hear the phrase, the bread of life, it's kind of noble, it's kind of pleasing, but when we hear, eat my flesh and drink my blood, that's not pleasing at all. So I counted five times in the passage that we read today, he tells us to eat his flesh. Now, even though this passage speaks of spiritual eating, I hope you get that, the word picture is really rather repulsive. You may have difficulty even hearing or trying to listen or read what Jesus says because of that word picture. The fact is that the word picture is so graphic, it causes some people to turn away. And strangely, it causes some people to draw closer. What is he talking about? I mean, really? Many of those who heard Jesus at this time, John chapter 6 is the passage about Jesus being the bread of life. So many people who heard Jesus called it a hard teaching. And they said, that's enough. I'm not going to follow this guy any longer. So this is a point. This is a defining point. And it's important to understand that what Jesus is saying here is a defining point that causes some people to say, yes, I'll follow you, even though I don't really know where we're going. And some people say, that's it. Jesus, you've gone too far. So let's talk about spiritual food. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. By the way, this passage, this Bible verse is taken out of the temptation of Jesus, where Jesus goes out into the wilderness for 40 days and he doesn't eat food, and then he's tempted by the deceiver, by Satan. And the verse says, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Wonderful words. Try saying them after you haven't eaten for 40 days. When Jesus was tempted by Satan, you'll remember he had already fasted 40 days, and the Bible says he was hungry. But even then, even under an attack, a temptation, he said these words. So remember, hear and that every word of God also includes Jesus Christ himself, who is the word of God. It also includes the scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:16 is the famous verse about every word of God is every word. God breathed. And Jesus in John chapter 1 is the Word of God. The Word became flesh, John chapter 1, verse 14. So the Bible is the living Word of God, and Jesus Christ is the living incarnate Word of God. Now, Jesus, let's look at what Jesus means when he uses that word eat. Just the word eat. John 6:35, same chapter, John 6:35. It's before our passage, and it says, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So come to me. Come to me in this verse is in the same position as eat my flesh, drink my blood in the other verse. They have the same result, and that is they'll never be thirsty. They'll have eternal life. So there's a sense that Jesus is more important than anything else. Spend time with him and feed your soul. Now, in Matthew 5, 6, we have the famous beatitude. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. We all know that one. For they will be filled. So if you're hungry for spiritual things, God will fill you. And we can remind ourselves that righteousness also comes by faith. It's not by something we do. Righteousness is a gift of faith. So spiritual eating is an act of faith. And its focus is on the life of Jesus Christ. We're trying to get through this repulsive word picture to what does it mean for the Christian life? So here we find that coming to Jesus has the same result as eating his flesh and blood. And anyone who comes to Jesus abides in him. John also uses that word, to abide. And if you're like me, you read through that, I think it's John chapter 14, when Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches, he who abides in me. And there's a whole teaching on what it means to abide in Christ. And you walk away from that thinking, well, I'm a little branch and he's the vine, but how does that work in real life? Well, this is another example of that, abiding in Christ. He who comes to me, he who eats my flesh, it gives the idea or the sense that this isn't just a one-time thing. This is a lifestyle. This is how I actually live from a spiritual life. And then, same chapter, verse 63, is another key verse for understanding. Jesus says, it is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I speak to you are spirit. Jesus is explaining right away that when he says, eat my flesh and drink my blood, he's talking about a spiritual thing. Now, I know we're not cannibals. I know that. But also, when we take the bread and the juice, that's a physical thing. So these are symbols to help us remember what Jesus did. But there's still a feeding, a spiritual feeding that needs to take place. And from what we read in the scripture today, there's 3 points I'd like to talk about that have to do with spiritual eating. The first one is that, did you notice that in all of those verses, Jesus never said, go to the cashier first. He didn't say that. This is free food. This is free food, folks. Okay, there's no cost. And it reminds me, I'll never forget, in the early 1990s, Sarah and I had an opportunity. There's a pastor, actually there's 3 brothers, they're all pastors, and they're probably long retired by now. But these 3 brothers were, they weren't orphans, but they were very poor during the Korean War. And they were really blessed by the American soldiers. Because American soldiers would often give things to the orphans or the little children running around in the streets, because it was just unbelievable the destruction that was going on in Korea at the time. And so the one man was the pastor of the largest Methodist church in the world. It was in Korea, and he invited 40 pastors from our Methodist conference here in Michigan their spouses. So there's 80 of us. And we provided our own airfare, but then they provided everything for us while we were there. And they took us to a nice buffet at the Sheraton Hotel, really posh, nice place. And we're eating all that really good food. And I don't know if I thought about it at the time, but I think about it now looking back. For us, that was free food. But it wasn't really free. Americans, Korean soldiers died. A lot of them. A lot of them. And we were being thanked for something we didn't do. Now that hits home to me because my dad was in the Korean War. And he came to visit us once we went to live in Korea. And there's a whole story about that. But it was a great time of closure for him when he went back there 40-some years later, like 45 years. But when you think about God providing food at no cost, you know, Isaiah chapter 55:1 has a really encouraging verse. 55:1, and this is in the NRSV version, the one that's in your pew. It's on the screen. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why? Because God has paid the price. It's not teaching that there's, I don't believe in any free lunches. Wherever there's food, somebody paid a price. I mean, it had to be harvested, at the very least. So God has paid a great price for us to have a free banquet. And that banquet is our spiritual life, our spiritual salvation, our spiritual food. And whether I thought about it then or later, we were given a great banquet at no cost to us. And it was just three brothers who pastored some of the largest churches in the world saying, this is our way of saying thank you to the Americans who came over. And it was really wonderful. We spent a whole week there in evangelism seminar and sightseeing. It was just wonderful. The first thing we need to know about spiritual food is that it's free. You can't earn it. You can't pay for it. You can't go to church every once a month and take communion and say that you deserve it. You can't put extra money in the offering plate and say, God owes me. You can't do that. There's no way you can pay for it because the price has already been paid. So that's the first. The second one is regular eating of spiritual food. Spiritual food is something that is to be done on a regular basis. We talked about abiding in Christ. That's in line with feasting on the flesh and blood of Jesus as a regular diet of spiritual food. And so this should remind us of something our Sunday school class has been talking about. The means of grace. What comes to your mind when you talk about the means of grace? There might be a few things, but let me clarify. In Wesleyan teaching, the means of grace, there are three ways to receive grace from God that are called the means of grace. Of course, God is not bound by anything. God can give you grace no matter what you do. That's God's prerogative. But there are means of grace that we recognize, and they are primarily prayer, and then searching the scriptures, reading and studying and meditating on the scriptures, and Holy Communion. These are the three means of grace. It doesn't mean that you can't get grace other ways. It just means these are three ways that Wesley says that we practice waiting for God. It's important to understand that the means of grace are what he says, a channel. Modern day people would say a conduit. There's no power in the means of grace. There's no power whatsoever. You don't have an extra special blessing or position or standing with God because you pray. No. Prayer is the conduit that gets you in touch with God. You've got to get in touch with God. And studying and meditating and searching the scriptures is a conduit. It's a way that you get in touch with God, but you have to get in touch with God. In other words, you have to exercise faith. Holy Communion is a conduit, which means That's true, but it's not the end of the story. Wesley taught that the means of grace have a goal, and the goal is love from a pure heart. That's the goal of the means of grace. And love from a pure heart means that we've been changed. We've been changed so much that we want to reach out to somebody with the love of Christ, with the message of the gospel, in some way to build somebody else up, to make their life closer to God. That's what a transformed person does. They don't come to church to get blessed only. We are blessed to bless others. That's what it means to be a Christian, to bless others. And if we stop with the blessing that we receive through prayer, through the scriptures, and through communion, people may look at us and say, where's the love? They might even look at us and say, they're kind of judgmental. Someone taught me once that the goal of Bible study is personal transformation. I didn't get it at first. But over the years, as I think more and more about that, and as I study the scripture, believe me, it is a privilege to prepare sermons because I feel I'm blessed more than anybody else. That God is changing us when we use these channels, these conduits, and we say to the Lord, okay, Lord, I'm not trusting in that, but I'm using this because I believe this helps me get in contact with you. And that's what I want, so that you can use me to do your will on the earth. Regular eating is using the means of grace on a daily basis. But be careful that none of these are used as kind of a magic thing. If I do this, I'm worthy of the Lord. No, that's not it at all. It's just a conduit. It's just a way for us to meet God. There's no power in the means of grace. There's an opportunity for relationship. It's like if you're hungry, go to the kitchen, right? Don't go to the shed out in the garage if you're hungry. Unless you have a stash out there or something like that. But, the last one is desire. There should be desire for spiritual food. And this is back to the Beatitude. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And by the way, this is different than seeking God's will. We find ourselves saying sometimes, I wish I knew God's will for my life. I wonder what God wants me to do. And that's always good. But this isn't that. This is hungering for God. I just want God. I want to be in His presence. I want to know Him. I want to love Him. I want to tell Him how much I love Him. And I want to hear Him tell me how much He loves me. That's hungering for God. And that's what this desire for spiritual food is all about. Oftentimes, the desire for spiritual food results in setting aside our personal requests, simply pursuing God for God's glory, pursuing for the sole purpose of glorifying God in our lives. So, if you think about the things that we bring to the Lord in prayer, what are they? Well, quite often, we're asking the Lord to provide some need, to heal some malady, maybe to help someone we know or love, maybe to solve some community problem, which could be small community or nation. These are some of the things. I know some might ask God to help them win the lottery, but I don't really include that because I think that's a little frivolous. Setting aside all of those, just saying, Lord, today I'm here kneeling before you. I'm not going to get up until I meet you, until I know that I've met the living God. That's hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Believe me, God will meet you. So you got those three. No cost of spiritual food, regular eating of spiritual food, and a desire for spiritual food. Hopefully, this topic leaves us with a desire to press in to know God with the goal of loving with a pure heart, loving other people with a pure heart. There's always going to be temptations in our world. Thanks to avoid. Tempted, you might be tempted to delay. You might be tempted to put off your spiritual life. You may be tempted by the desires of your heart rather than the desires of God's heart. The question is, which will you pursue? Take it seriously. The eternal consequences are profound, and they're real. So may God lead us all, to hunger and thirst for righteousness, and feed on the spiritual food which Jesus gives us alone. Amen. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for your congregation. Guide and direct us in Jesus' name. I would like to ask you if you'll take your hymnals and turn to page 13. I believe we're scheduled to have the offering after communion. I understand correctly. I do. If that's a misprint, we'll connect it on the next time around. But today we'll have communion first. So it's page 13, Service of Word Table 2, and it is the section of the Great Thanksgiving. And I'll be inviting those who plan to serve to come up in a few minutes. So we're on page 13, the Great Thanksgiving. Would you join with me in responsive reading? The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right, and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy.
Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and juice. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now with confidence of the children of God, let's pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation.
Yeah.
God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.